Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Welcome to the program. Foreclosures in Michigan are going down, but it's not because the housing market is coming back. I'll talk about that later in the hour. And a new study finding that 40% of patients who are getting heart screening tests and even unnecessary procedures have no symptoms of a problem. I'll talk to the doctor behind the report to find out why that's happening. But first, the debt ceiling drama is behind us, at least until after the 2012 elections. But where exactly did the deal leave us, and were some of the most difficult decisions simply avoided? To talk about that, I'm joined by Michigan Republican U.S. Congressman Bill Huizinga. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, Mike, and I appreciate the opportunity to spend a little time.
A just-released USA Today Gallup poll finding that only 1 in 5 Americans see the debt ceiling deal as a step forward in addressing the federal debt. As it continues to rise, certainly until 2013 and probably beyond, how was the deal that you voted for effective in confronting the deficit?
Well, it was marginally effective, quite honestly, and not to put too fine a point on it, but we're not done with this thing. This is not going to be the last time you're going to hear us talk about the debt ceiling before this 2012 election. We've got this joint committee that's going to be working on its recommendations. Certainly, we've got another slice of the debt ceiling that the president's going to need to request based around those actions sometime in February, early March next year. And I think that's good. I think it's healthy because the American people need to be engaged in this conversation and in this debate about the future.
Why were you and other Republicans so resistant to rolling back the Bush tax cuts on the ultra-wealthy? It seems that almost every economist says that lowering the debt will require combining tax cuts with an increase in revenue. Why is that off the table?
Well, I think, first of all, we've got to look at what's been happening in the tax code over the last number of decades, and we are completely out of whack, frankly. You've got major corporations that are paying nothing. You've got a lot of those small and medium-sized businesses are owned by people who either own them through a limited liability corporation or an S corporation, which means it gets put right onto their personal income taxes. And we've got to look at, have a comprehensive look at how we're going to deal with those things, with a flattening and making the tax code more fair all the way around. So, and quite honestly, right now, as we're talking about jobs, because this is the key issue, whether it's here in Michigan or whether it's nationally, we've got to get people back to work. And I just personally do not see how raising taxes on those people that own those LLCs and those S-corporation type situations are going to help that situation.
Well, what you're pointing out is in fact the case that what's really killing us are these loopholes that let so many of these corporations get away with paying so much less and in turn leaving the revenue levels so much lower than they should be. Why are the loopholes not being addressed in the discussion of dealing with the deficit?
Well, this goes back to your original point. Have we really solved the issue? And the answer to that simply is no. We have averted a couple of very difficult situations that I think most people recognize were not a direction we wanted to go. If we had simply defaulted even on part of the debts that we owe, and I'm not talking about those things constitutionally or legally that we must be dealing with. I'm talking about the things that we had made promises on. Virtually everybody believes that we would have seen significant increases in the interest rates that we all would be paying, whether it's us as individuals on our credit cards or our home mortgages or refinancing or our companies, our small companies and small businesses that are trying to grow and expand, or our governments, whether it's local or state or the federal. We all would have been paying a price that the economy doesn't need right now either.
Are you saying that neither congressional Republicans nor the White House are really ready to confront loopholes and taking them out of the system?
Well, let me give you a little pushback on that because the House of Representatives has passed a couple of bills already. One of them cut cap and balance that would have gone a significant way in addressing that. We also then passed the first original quote-unquote Boehner bill that was passed. What I think most people can honestly say is this is a do-nothing Senate that has been sitting back and has really been kicking the can down the road. And all you got to do is look at the statistics, whether it's number of days that they've been in session, number of bills that they've been taking up. Therein lies a huge part of the problem, is we have a partner that's just not willing to engage in this.
I'm talking to Michigan Republican U.S. Congressman Bill Huizinga. Bill, you supported the deal partly because of the call for a vote on a constitutional amendment for a balanced budget. Although in our current state, wouldn't that be an absolutely jarring shift that could cause some serious damage to the economy?
Well, no, I think that, first of all, this is a glide path. You know, we are on a battleship here. We're on an aircraft carrier. We're not on a Four Winds or a Tierra where you're just going to be able to turn the wheel and whip this thing around. This is going to take some time. We didn't get into this overnight. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get out of this overnight. This is really more talking about the long-term trajectory of our spending. How do we bend that curve? And, the rating agencies, Moody's and Standard & Poor's and others, have all talked about this as well, where they've said, okay, fine, you've taken care of this on the short term, but what are you doing on the long term? And I think that really is what we need to confront here. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, there are safety valves that can be built into this. We have another 9/11 type situation. We can deal with that. But I think it's fair that we ask the federal government to do exactly what the state of Michigan has to do. I dealt with that when I was in the state legislature for 6 years. Back in 96 and 97, where we had some partial shutdowns and those kinds of things, it sharpens the debate, and I think that's a debate we need to have, because, quite honestly, we just can't keep passing this debt down to our kids and our grandkids. Mm-hmm. It's just completely unsustainable.
You know, Democratic state lawmakers here in Michigan already coming out saying that Michiganians are going to be hurt by the cuts that are coming, especially when it comes to roads and other programs that rely on federal matching funds. Isn't that the last thing our state needs right now?
Well, and again, sometimes when you're in a hole, you need to just stop digging. I don't see how this helps us either in the short term or the long term, that we just continue to pile layer and layer and layer of debt onto this economy, mm-hmm. especially when you've got rating agencies and investors around the world who are saying, hey, you know what, guys, you might not be Greece, but we're getting nervous. You know, you don't have your fiscal house in order like they do in Canada or in Germany or even in France.
Are Democrats right, though? Are we going to be seeing less money coming from the federal government here in Michigan?
We don't know exactly how this is going to be playing out, what areas we are going to have to, where this committee is going to come with. Certainly, if we have across-the-board cuts, those across-the-board cuts are designed to be painful for everybody. They'll be in security and non-security discretionary spending. But ultimately what we need to do is we need to acknowledge the fact that we have to change those main drivers of our long-term debt, which are Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. It's about living within our means and doing more with less. We all have to do that personally. The state government has to do that. The local and county governments have to do that. I don't understand why we would expect anything different out of the federal government.
Well, in fact, the ballooning cost of Medicare and Social Security is widely known to be unsustainable, although taking action on this part of the budget is likely to create a public uproar. How do you see our need to make cuts in these programs playing out?
Well, it's about educating people as well. You know, my parents are in their 80s. We're not changing the system on them. We can't. I believe we've got a moral and social contract with them that we need to fulfill. And I think the vast majority of Americans believe that that's the case. But I'm 42. Guess what? I got 25 years here to adjust, to make different decisions. And frankly, I don't believe the system's going to be there anyway, the way that it's currently structured. So, you know, we all are going to have to change our paradigm here. It's just whether we've got the courage to acknowledge that and then go do it.
So we're talking about slight reductions in those programs. What kind of numbers do you anticipate that will need to be cut there?
Well, I think some of it's the parameters, whether it's income testing, Social Security benefits and those kinds of things. Do we really need to have Warren Buffett and Bill Gates getting a Social Security check? Probably they're going to be okay. we need to look at, I think, age of eligibility.
One last question. Was there a political winner in the debt ceiling debate? Do you think that the lack of willingness to compromise with the president may ultimately reflect a Republican stubbornness that might be concerning to Americans?
Stubbornness and steadfastness may be two slightly different things, but, you know, I just don't understand how the president or others who can look at people that are, you know, 6 months off the campaign trail, who said that they were going to do something, and then ask them and frankly berate them for not doing what they said that they were going to do. And, you know, it seemed, I don't ask the president to change his core philosophy. I just don't think he needs to be asking me to change mine. But we have a fundamental conversation here that needs to happen in the U.S. about the direction of our country. And I think that's what the setup is for this 2012 election as well.
Michigan Republican U.S. Congressman Bill Heisinger, thank you for joining me.
Hey, Mike, I really appreciate the opportunity.
We'll be back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.